It is usual in these Upanishadic dialogues between the teacher and the student, the master and the disciple, to lead the student back into himself for the extremely simple and good reason that the omnipresent is closest to me in me. The omnipresent is everywhere, no doubt. It's on the other side of the sun. But it is closest to me in me. And therefore, if I am somehow made to dive within myself, to see what is the reality or the truth concerning me, what I have been calling me, what I have been calling me, already there is a confusion there. If that confusion is resolved, then here and there, here and now, at the very rock bottom of my own thinking, my own heart, the omnipresence is touched. That which is here is everywhere. That which is everywhere else is here. So, instead of looking around everywhere, why not look here? That's a simple logic. And therefore, whenever there is a direct encounter, almost a confrontation, between the seeker and the enlightened one slaps the seeker's inquiries back on himself. Look within and see who is the one that asks this question. That is self-knowledge. Unable or untrained to look within and to become aware of the awareness, there is a looking outside, there is a seeking outside, there is a flow outside, there is an emotion. The emotion is not arrested, stopped, but the current is reversed. The direction is reversed, that's all. That's what in the guru-disciple encounter, the guru almost invariably did. There are a couple of quite a few of them where there is debating. It's not a guru-disciple encounter, but a debate. It appears from a study of the Upanishads, especially the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's considered the earliest, and it's also regarded as in parts totally unintelligible. The language is seems to be clear, but what it is talking about is it's all in riddles, and therefore not many people sort of devote too much attention to it. It's also voluminous. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you find such what one may call philosophical debates. Most of them happen in the court of a king named Janaka. Whether it is the same person who later happened to be the father-in-law of Rama, we don't know. But it is said that Janaka was a king and he was deeply interested in spiritual quest. And as often as his royal mood demanded, he held philosophical debates in his court. And the story that emerges from these debates is fairly romantic. It is said that he would assemble in his courtyard, there were 1,000 cows, sometimes even more, several thousands of them, all first-class cows. In addition to that, all their horns and hooves were gold-plated. So, a good prize. And he would get up in the court and announce, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, right? Because there were quite a number of terrific women philosophers in his court. You see the cows there, I offer them to the wisest amongst you. It's not my business to judge. The wisest, that prize belongs to the wisest amongst you. And one looks at the other, one looks at the other. There is a legendary character called Yajnavalkya, who is a towering personality in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. He almost invariably looked at his disciple, take them away, they belong to me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to challenge, challenge. If you think I am unworthy of that prize, challenge. If you defeat me, I'll give it back to you. I'll probably give it with penalty. And very often he was challenged by that this lady called Gargi. She must have been a powerful figure. And she nearly riddles him with her questions. On such occasions, once he asks, what are all these worlds? How are they supported? How are all these worlds supported? All this stellar system, the universe and the sun, moon, stars, heavens. Who is holding them up? You can't say God, but and that sort of thing. Then you run into questionable statements. And he comes up with a very brilliant and simple answer. Space. What do they exist in? What are they supported by? Space. Uh-huh. Got me right there. She says, in what is space established? Infinite. Akshara. Akshara means that which does not undergo any change, that which does not decay, that which does not come to an end. Akshara. The imperishable. Space is held in its position, sustained by the infinite. And at one stage, she and he come to blows quite often in that Upanishad. And in that, on that occasion, she turns round to the other ladies and gentlemen and she says, oh, keep quiet. You cannot argue with him. He is supreme. And they take her word for it. She says, I have tried. And even I cannot defeat him in debate. None of you can obviously challenge him. And they all keep quiet. Which sort of implies that she was herself very highly respected in that assembly. On such occasions, there is also a hint that that which is here, deep within this oneself, is also everywhere. And that is what sustains the entire universe. Which also implies again that what is regarded as the self is not the me. Later, the great philosophers built a tremendous system called Vedanta, a philosophical, metaphysical system called Vedanta, in which they introduced like the Abhidhamma categories and, you know, sort of thing, all neatly chopped and laid out. And they called it Anvaya Vitireka method. That is, one realizes the identity of the self with the infinite, the identity of the jiva or the individual soul with Brahman, which is the absolute. The identity of the two is realized. All that is not self, all that are born of concepts, notions, ideas. The body is an idea. Why is it an idea? You don't know that the body exists when you are asleep. Sleep is an idea because the state of sleep does not exist now. So somewhere between these two is the truth. Somebody's imagination. That which comes into being is not the eternal, because it ceases to be at some stage. What is it that does not come into being and therefore does not cease to be? So by eliminating all these notions concerning oneself and eliminating all these notions concerning the universe, when all those are eliminated, and when all these are eliminated, one suddenly wakes up to the realization that this and that are one. The jiva and the absolute are one. The self and the infinite are one. All these methods and categories were brought in later, mostly from based on the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's a fantastic scripture, text. It is there that you can look within